What's up, guys? On today's podcast, we have another banger episode for you all today. We have a champion on our team. Yes. Not me, though. Tyler is a champion. We discussed that a little bit in segment one, along with the new Batman movie coming out, March Madness being in full effect. We go over NASCAR at Auto Club this past weekend in a little bit of detail. And instead of diving into a few topics in segment two, we answer a couple different questions. And you know, we had to finish up segment three with our random question that was also suggested by a friend of the program, Nate Leslie. A few recommendations and Tyler's quote of the week. We look forward to having you listen. Welcome back to another episode of the Life After College podcast. This is episode four of said podcast. I am Austin Zershmi, joined by my co-host, Tyler Brockman. Tyler, what's going on, my man?
Just ready to get after it.
You know, before we started recording, you were talking about how you're only on a couple hours of sleep and, you know, how you've only really do a couple of those a semester. Tell us about what's going on right now in your college life.
Yeah, we're just kind of in the midst of midterms and had one of our bigger ones today. And it was just at a bad time because last night we had two intramural games. But it was important because we were playing for the championship. And I'll go ahead and break the news. We won. We got a nice dry fit long sleeve t-shirt, so Feeling pretty good. But yeah, that meant I probably got home about 9:45 by the time I showered and stuff to get ready to like study. It was in the 10 o'clock hour and had more to look at than I thought I did. So I was up late and just kind of been a long day, long week already, and it's just Tuesday. So yeah. I don't typically like to pull very late nights, but this one just kind of a circumstance of the schedule.
How many Red Bulls did you drink last night?
I didn't have a Red Bull. Emily made me a dirty chai, which is a shot of espresso, a half cup of the chai like concentrate blend, and a half cup of I think we used oat milk, and then I had it iced, and it wasn't too bad. You know, I like the chai tea. I'm more of a tea guy than a coffee guy, so it still had a little bit of that coffee aftertaste that, you know, isn't my favorite, but the initial taste was like kind of that chai tea, so it was pretty good, and gave me the caffeine to stay awake.
That lasted you all night until like 4 a.m. or something?
Well, I didn't drink it until maybe like 10 o'clock at night. So it did. And then just the adrenaline of being a champion, you know?
Yeah, so kind of getting into that. You were in two leagues. One of them was co-ed, one of them was regular. There was some drama going on because, you know, game schedules need all the people at both games at the same time and got to play favorites on which one you're going to go to and separate it out. But it looks like your co-ed one was a Chunky co-ed Salsa.
Chunky Salsa, that was our team, yeah. So I guess last week on Tuesday, we started the men's side of the tournament and got to play against, you know, our mutual friend, Luke Ozell. And they beat us. I wasn't too mad about that because we were probably going to get blown out that next game. And so I was ready to go ahead and put all of our eggs into our co-ed team basket. Mm-hmm. And then we ended up with a doubleheader last night, had our first game at 5:30, won that one. And then we knew the championship would be a competitive game because the other team was pretty good. But we were able to pull out the victory.
How'd you do in it?
I did pretty good. The role that I play on the co-ed team is not so much like a volume shooter as it is like more of a facilitator. Typically, a co-ed team has the advantage where one of our girls has the advantage over, you know, whoever is guarding her. So they were doubling her a lot. We were still able to feed her the ball into the post, and she could go up and score. So that's kind of what we relied on for our advantage on offense. And then when they would crash, we get some kickouts and some buckets. Then we ended up going zone for most of our defense because we just needed some help rebounding. We were missing a couple of our taller guys.
So even the championship game, they didn't want to come?
I mean, like I said, it's the middle of midterms and, you know, people taking this school stuff seriously now.
They don't have the drive like you to chug back a chai latte tea.
Yeah, I know, they don't. Strong. We had four of our guys, which means that we have kind of one sub for the guys because we'll play with three guys and then two girls. And then we had three of our girls, so they had a sub as well.
But all in all, finished strong and got you that T-shirt that everyone's working for all year.
That's the big victory, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we came close a couple times playing, but was never able to get it. And, you know,
they've really upped the budget because this one's a dry fit, long sleeve. It's not like a Nike or Adidas or anything. It's some other brand, but it still has a good feel to it.
Adidas school can't get an Adidas shirt for the
We're supposed to be getting a gift card or something.
Oh yeah, a $50 gift card. Is that for each person or is it separated?
It better be for each person. We'll see.
Yeah, keep us updated on that one. But yeah, it sounds like you got a lot going on this last week or so. You know, we've talked about your intramurals, your midterms. There's kind of something exciting coming out here in the next couple weeks or so. That new Batman movie is supposed to be coming out in the next few days, if not already out now. Are you thinking about seeing it? Are you excited for it? You think Robert's going to be a good Batman? What are you thinking?
The Batman trilogy with Christian Bale, that's like the best superhero trilogy that's out there. You know, it's better than the Marvels because it's, you know, in my opinion, because it's just like a trilogy. You know, there's not, you know, 30 movies and 8 different TV shows that you have to watch just to understand the next movie. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a classic story, you know, origin story, you know, build up, has a nice ending. So I don't know. I mean, I know that they then had the Batman and Superman with Ben Affleck. I didn't really care for those very much, but I don't know. I mean, you get a superhero movie out and I'll probably watch it at some point.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious on if this is like a, I know we probably have some superhero fans that listen, if this is going to be like kind of a redo of the Batman, or if it's in another universe, or if this is like a continuation. Didn't he die in the Dark Knight Rises, or the third one? Spoiler.
Well, he like retired over, and then saw Alfred at like coffee shop or something, and they just kind of made eye contact. How Alfred was saying in a conversation that's how he hoped he would, you know, get out of it. But technically, like the rest of Gotham thinks that Bruce Wayne is dead or Batman is dead. Now I'm starting to doubt myself.
Yeah, because I mean, like, I didn't really understand like the Spider-Man stuff, how there's, you know, different universes of Spider-Man, but I guess that was kind of implied in the comics, so maybe it's a real thing and maybe it's kind of similar with Batman. I know there's kind of like different levels to the Batman.
But I mean, there's been, you know, multiple remakes of Batmans, you know, just like there has been with Spider-Mans and Supermans and really all of them. So I think it's, I don't know, I'm fine with it because I don't think it takes away anything from the other ones. Mm-hmm. You know, I can still like the Tobey Maguire Spider-Mans, and then, you know, they'd be making you know, the Andrew Garfield and now the Tom Holland ones, you know. So I think that the different actors, the different directors, the different writers and all that, they're, you know, you can still enjoy them for what they are and get something different from each of them.
Yeah, and I think there's, like, different villains in each one, so it's like you're not redoing the same ones. Like, I think in this one, it's Big Riddler is the big villain in the new movie. I think the trailer looks awesome. I think Robert Pattinson's going to be pretty good. Christian Bale was obviously, you know, the cream of the crop, you know, kind of being good in that role, and I kind of, like, see... Like how I thought Tobey Maguire is Spider-Man. Tom Holland did a good job of kind of overtaking that role. And a lot of people will see Tom Holland as Spider-Man. I don't think anyone thinks of Spider-Man or has Spider-Man in their mind and thinks of Andrew Garfield. So I'm kind of hoping that this is kind of not the case of that, where it's just like a one or two off thing that no one really cares for.
Yeah, I think some of that's probably just like with the, you know, generations and then the timing of like when they came out. Because I don't think anyone's going to, you know, first thing when they hear of Ben Affleck is going to be thinking like, oh, yeah, Batman, you know, because it was not too far after the Christian Bale ones and really wasn't that long ago. And then now there's going to be these, so
yeah. Was that the kind of like the Batman versus Superman stuff?
Yeah, that was the Batman Superman stuff.
Yeah, I wish that was a lot better than what it was.
I probably should have watched more of the Superman stuff to understand it better, but
yeah, that's kind of like Superman's supposed to be like the most popular like superhero or like most well known, and like the movies are just not good, I think, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, it's hard to get into them.
Yeah, I think the Spider-Man ones are awesome, and then Batman's are awesome. But those are also my top two favorite superheroes. So maybe I'm biased, I don't know. And then kind of switching gears here, next topic that I have to kind of bring up a little bit is that March Madness is coming up. We are in March 1st, 2022, Year of Our Lord. And I think Ash Wednesday is tomorrow, but
yep. You
and Emily will get the old ashy thumb on your forehead, right?
I don't know. We'll see.
Do they have anybody that'll do it at your hospital?
At my school?
Yeah.
No.
They don't have people walking around campus? The HSA campus or whatever it's called?
I'll let you know if they do.
Yeah, let us know next week if anyone came up to you offering you ash.
I think if it did, I mean, it's downtown. You don't know what that means. So.
Probably cigarette ash.
Just put the butt out on my forehead.
But yeah, March Madness is coming up. Next week, we'll start the conference tournaments for the teams. I think Kentucky is a lock to make it, obviously. Kind of curious on how they'll do in their conference tournament. They've had a pretty tough season with different opponents and stuff going on the road and playing these games. I think if they play all their opponents maybe in a neutral site or even at Rupp, obviously, they probably win a lot more of the games that they lost. And I'm kind of curious on if they would be the favorites going into the tournament, if there's, you know, a team that can kind of hang with them on a neutral site. But what are your takes on Louisville going into the conference tournament? I don't think the ACC is as strong as they've been in the past, but obviously Duke's probably one of the favorites, if not the favorite. But, you know, anything can happen in March. You could have a UConn situation come out and just ball out these next four or five games and make a run in the tournament. Do you think Louisville has a chance to do anything like that?
Yeah, I don't see Louisville making it more than a couple games into the tournament. You know, they're going to be in the first round, you know, no bye, no double bye, kind of situations like they've had in years past. So really, to make the NCAA tournament, they would need to get that automatic bid, and there's really just no way that they're going to get five straight wins. But what you could see with the ACC, you know, it being a down year, is that one of these teams that is on the bubble or, you know, on the outside looking in, could kind of jump in and steal a automatic bid spot. You know, if Duke doesn't win at all, or, you know, one of these teams that, you know, you assume is going to be in the tournament. If it is one of these teams that is on the outside looking in, that's not really normal to the ACC. But since it's a down year, you know, this could be one where you see an ACC team kind of steal a bid from some of these other bubble teams out there. So it'll be interesting to see. But no, I think Louisville is out of it. And there's just, I don't know, you get on Twitter, talk radio, wherever, it's just rumors every day about more bad news in the program, players unhappy, coaches unhappy. So it probably wouldn't be the worst thing for this team to just end the season sooner rather than later without anything else. Honestly, I don't even know if they're going to get a bid for that. I don't know. I mean, they've won 12 games. I mean, that's not good.
Yeah.
They may win 13 by the time the season's over, maybe. So I think that especially the situation of not having a permanent head coach, and I don't know that they'll get a bid or want a bid or accept a bid. So
what would you do to improve the program and change the team around? New coach, new players?
Well, yeah, you got to bring in a new coach. It's going to be interesting because it's going to be an interim athletic director and an interim university president. So you need a coach who's kind of committed through all of that noise, and going to need somebody who can recruit, because that the talent is just a big problem right now.
Yeah, I feel like with Mac, he's recruited, you know, good guys, but then they don't play and then they transfer.
Yeah, I mean, his first kind of big recruiting class did not pan out. You know, you had one end up going to Iona, one go to Grand Canyon. I'm forgetting. I think one went to LaSalle. I mean, they weren't transferring, you know, to like Dukes and Kansases and Michigan States or programs like that. So, I mean, you recruited this, you know, big class of, you know, six guys who you thought were going to be leading the charge. And then one of them, I think, is still on the team and is a contributor. So, I mean, you can't just swing and miss on that many guys, because then, you know, the next season, you got to replace them all. So,
but yeah, it should shape up to be a good tournament, and I think Kentucky still has a good shot at winning the whole thing. I'm kind of curious on who's going to be the final four, who's going to be the top four seeds. But it should shape up to be a crazy season of March. And kind of with that, actually switching gears, there was a fantastic race on Sunday. I don't know if you caught it. I know you're probably busy studying or working on your jump shot for the championship game. But if you didn't see it, you missed a hell of a race on Sunday at Auto Club in California.
Yeah, why don't you recap it for me and the listeners?
Yeah, so stage one, stage two, stage three, that was exciting. In years past, there's been, especially on intermediate tracks, and when I say intermediate, I mean like mile and a halfs, kind of tracks that are cookie cutter in shape. They all kind of look the same, all kind of race the same, and they kind of all don't show high levels of racing. But with this new car, we're on our second race in, I believe. There was a poll that
Jeff Gluck tweets after every race, and he'll say, was such and such a good race? And it's a simple yes or no answer. And, you know, over the years, there's been, you know, 50% yeses, 50% no's, even at races like Auto Club. The last race there was in 2020. They didn't go in 2021, just to help out with travel cost, with the stuff from COVID. And they were talking about, you know, with how the racing was in years past, of completely taking it off the schedule entirely, or even changing the track layout to be a short track. And after this race on Sunday, they've kind of scrapped all those plans, and will show that, you know, this car, this new generation of car, with this current package, is going to help out a lot with the entertainment side of things, with the racing side of things, on intermediates, which was kind of a concern with the last car racing on those type of tracks. The races were kind of boring to watch. There was, the cars themselves were fairly easy to drive. There was no throttle control with the cars. You could just be in the gas the whole time, no matter what track you're at. Usually you're only in the gas the whole time at Daytona and Talladega, but these, like some of these bigger intermediate tracks, like a California, like an Atlanta, like a Homestead, you're in the gas the whole time. Still, you're not going as fast because of the current package, but it kind of takes no skill to have your foot on the gas the whole time. You need to, you know, kind of go off and have different types of throttle control, where you're going full throttle, half throttle, you know, maybe even half brake, and kind of swinging around the corner that way. And the cars themselves are harder to drive. We've seen a couple spins, cars just getting loose and spinning out with no one even touching them. That's just kind of showing how hard it is to drive these cars. And I think that is a good thing, because like I was saying, in years past, they've been so easy to drive. But the racing itself, you know, cars are able to pass now. There's no really concern for dirty air causing cars to not be able to pass. Cars being able to get up to the leader, get right behind them, but there being some type of bubble to restrict them from actually making a pass on the leader. So you're seeing a lot of passes. You're seeing a lot of battles for the lead. There was a lot of lead changes yesterday, a bunch of different strategies. The main concern for this car and this package is the tires themselves. When they're kind of getting loose and spinning out just from the car being so twitchy, you know, you can get a flat tire from sliding or bald spot the tire when you lock up the brakes and you're sliding down the track or whatever. But if you get, you know, two or three flat tires and you come to a complete stop, you're seeing a lot of these cars having issues with getting going again. And on the previous car, all the tires had an inner liner, which is basically something that caused the wheel to still hold some type of inflation. So if you did have four flats, you could still drive off and be fine, make your way to pit road and change all your tires. But with this current tire, the tire is smaller, the wheel is bigger. There's not really a lot of room in the tire to have another liner to keep these cars from going if they do get a flat tire. So that's kind of a concern, because we've seen, you know, these single car accidents where they spin, they have a couple flats, and then they can't go anywhere. And then they end up going a couple laps down because they need to get the tow truck out to push them to pit road. And I think this has been something that they've looked at last week and this week especially. So I think that there's going to be a change coming soon in this next week on the tire. Whether what that change is, what they do with that, I don't know. But overall, the race was incredible. It scored like the third highest intermediate track voting on Jeff Gluck's poll since he's been running the poll for, you know, 8 or 10 years on Twitter. So the racing itself is amazing. If it's not the same, you know, boring races that they have been in the past. So now I know I've said this last week and probably a couple times, but it is a good time to get in, find a driver, be a fan, go to a race and kind of be entertained, especially with baseball kind of not knowing if it's going to start on time, if there's even going to be a season, whatever. The NBA is kind of hitting their lull period before they ramp up again for the playoffs. I know the Masters is coming up in April, but football is done. Basketball season is going to be done here soon with college. So they're going to have a lot of Sundays of nothing on TV except for maybe NASCAR. And, you know, that's kind of something to look at and to get into for sure.
Yeah, and we're just two races into the season, so it's still a long season ahead. Can't, you know, totally predict and, you know, see what's happened in these two races and tell you everything that's going to be different about this new car package. So, I mean, the teams are still working, tweaking things out. The drivers are still working at tweaking things out. And, I mean, we haven't even seen this in a road course. I think we'll see one of those in about 4 weeks or so. It's a good time to get in, and you know, you're not too late. Don't have to wait for the start of next season. Go ahead and jump in now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I kind of realized when I was going on that spill, I didn't even like give any race updates of the race, just because the racing itself was fantastic. Stage one and stage two, I think, had Tyler Reddick and Erik Jones finish 1-2 in both stages. Those two drivers have not been kind of crazy competitive in the past. And, you know, Erik Jones has won, I think, maybe one race, maybe two. And then Tyler Reddick doesn't have any wins. But they're, you know, battling for stage wins and running up front. And with this car, with this package, you're seeing not as much disparity between the top teams and the bottom teams. So guys that you don't typically see running up front or running up front, getting stage wins, leading laps. I think Tyler Reddick probably led as many laps at Auto Club as he did all of last season. So, you know, if you're going to pick a driver, you know, you don't have, you know, just four drivers to pick from that you want to see win, because I think there's going to be less disparity between top drivers and the bottom drivers. And then ended up kind of Kyle Larson ended up winning the whole thing at the end of the day. Made one of a last lap pass on I think Daniel Suarez, and then drove away with maybe two or three laps to go, and ended up kind of wrecking, and intentionally, unintentionally, who knows, his teammate Chase Elliott with a few laps to go. Chase was coming in on the high side. Kyle Larson says he didn't see him. Spotter said he could have told Kyle he was coming faster, but ran into Chase, and Chase got into the wall, got a flat tire, spun out, ruined his day. He was battling for the lead and the win, and, you know, your own teammate wrecks you, so that's going to be even more reason to watch, is to see this drama between these two top guys in the sport. You know, are these two teammates going to be able to put their differences aside, or put whatever happened at this race, you know, behind them and move forward? Or are we going to see them kind of go back and forth with each other race and maybe not give each other as much room as they have in the past? Who knows? But Kyle Larson did end up winning. I think next week we got Las Vegas. Pretty similar track to Auto Club, with it being kind of like a mile and a half intermediate track, but it does race a little bit different. So I'm kind of curious to see on how the racing is going to come next week.
Yeah, so we're two races in, two different winners. To get into the playoffs, you know, I think just kind of like last year, this year is going to be key to get a win, to lock yourself into the playoffs. So I think there's a lot of people out there who have a chance to win, and there's a lot of races for them to have a chance to do it. So maybe some of these drivers like Chase Elliott, who normally are kind of a lock to get something in, you know, maybe feeling the pressure later on in the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think if I remember last season, I think there was like a huge number of people went in like in a row, like nine different races, nine different winners or something like that to start the season. So if we see something like that, you know, these teams that maybe are usually the ones winning and seeing other guys win are kind of, you know, feeling the pressure of, are they going to make the playoffs? Are they going to be able to point themselves in? Do they need to win? If they win, are their teammates going to be left out? You know, so it's going to be a crazy season for sure. Definitely get into it if you are not. Jumping into segment two, we got something a little different for you guys today. You know, usually we got a couple topics, but today we're going to switch it up and go over a couple more questions kind of in depth. Not to be confused with our random question of the week, we're going to be answering a couple things that, you know, we can use to kind of reflect on and kind of give some advice for anyone else out there. But I'll kind of get started with kind of the first question that I got for you, Tyler. What do you wish you would have done at the start of college that you didn't do? And kind of give me an idea of where to go with this. You know, you can talk about, I wish I joined this club. I wish I was in this frat as opposed to this frat, or I wish I didn't join a frat. I wish I would have, you know, had a job, didn't have a job. You know, whatever, lived on campus, lived in a different apartment.
Yeah, so I really don't know that I would change too much. I mean, it's not like it was like my glory golden years or anything. I don't think I peaked or anything, at least I hope not. But I don't really have too much to complain about, so that's why I don't think I would change much. Maybe with some of the classes I took, I came in with a little bit of college credit, so I didn't have to, you know, there were several semesters where I was just taking like 12 credit hours. I did end up taking like a couple philosophy classes, a history class, a business class, but I probably would have taken maybe more business classes because now I'm kind of taking some of the business classes that they give us in dental school, and just having a better background in that would have been nice. I took one history class, and I don't know, it was just very different from all the science classes that I'd been taking. Cool to learn about stuff with that. The philosophy, it was kind of fun. We took one of those together.
I didn't show up to a couple of the classes. I needed your notes to help me out.
We were both a little deceived by the title of the class. It was, I think, Intro to Philosophy Through Literature and Film. And there wasn't as many films as we were anticipating, but that's all right.
Yeah, I think I ended up being an easy A.
It was an easy A. And I had that professor before, which is why I was like, oh, okay, I'll take this one. But it was good. It got us some requirements done. I lived in a dorm freshman year, and I liked that. I would do that again.
Really?
It wasn't too bad. I mean, I definitely like the apartment living better than the dorm. But it was a good transition for me, at least, you know, to kind of get used to that. Just kind of, I don't know, living with someone not from your family type of adjustment. And it was a friend of mine from high school. So, you know, we didn't have any issues. So, yeah, would you have, I guess you would not be interested in the dorm life?
Yeah, no. So kind of answering this question, there's a couple things I would have done different. I wish I probably would have tried harder for sure. I think I got away with, you know, being fine with, you know, C's and B's, and then having to push when I was a junior and senior for A's to kind of get the GPA to be respectable. So I wish I would have tried harder in my younger years for sure. My first year was absolutely terrible. You know, I was still commuting from home in Mount Washington, so I was making that 40-minute trip to campus almost every day. I also started working at UPS second shift, and that was absolutely terrible. I actually failed my very first college class, calculus. I didn't even take pre-cal in high school. I took stats. So I jumped in from, you know, stats in high school to calculus in college as my very first class. And it was, you know, there's a couple hundred people in an auditorium, kind of very standard, big intro college class. But with something like calculus, you need to really study and know your stuff. And, you know, I was pretty smart in high school. I didn't really, again, I still didn't try very hard, but I got pretty good grades and was thought that I was able to kind of fly through in college, at least freshman year, the same way. But there is a big adjustment to studying and really knowing the material. You can't really bullshit the material no matter what class you're in college. And that was a big adjustment for me.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that sophomore year was easier. And I think part of that was just, you know, you're used to what a big lecture class is like. You know, it's different than, you know, your 30-person high school class. So
mm-hmm.
I think that's just kind of some of the adjustment.
Yeah, and, you know, I wish I did not commute to college. I wish I would have stayed on campus. I would not have done a dorm for sure. That I can't do that. There's no way. But getting an apartment somewhere would have been cool. I liked the province. We were there for your last couple of years, and then my, you know, sophomore to senior year was at the province, and I didn't have any issues there. It was fun, good times, cool people. But I wish I would have done something like that freshman year, and then just would have done it all 4 years, being close to campus, and probably would have been easier to get involved freshman year and then carrying it out to all 4 years. Freshman year is kind of like the big one to where you join all the stuff, or you go to all these meetings, or you rush or do whatever. You can't really be a junior and rush. You're going to get some looks. Yeah. Not saying that I would rush anyway, but I wish I would have like joined some type of like accounting club or business club freshman year. Wish I didn't work at UPS for those couple months that I was doing that.
Yeah, freshman year I joined a bunch of different things. There was like some arts and science council that I joined. I was going to like this ultimate frisbee club team and things like that. But I mean, I didn't really keep up with any of them through the rest of college. I guess, you know, you just find out what you're interested in and quit doing what you're not. But it's good to try those sorts of things, especially at the beginning.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, I wish I would have lived on campus and not worked at EPS, joined some clubs. Probably wish I would have played some more intramurals too. I played on a random C league frat team for intramural basketball my freshman year, and I was a role player in high school, but you would have thought I was, you know, Michael Jordan on this team. And then, so I mean, that kind of, it's fun for a little bit, but you kind of wish you played with and against other people that kind of knew what they were doing. But, you know, we played flag football the last couple of years, and I wish I would have done that freshman year too, because that was fun. Throwing darts and dropping dimes left and right, QB1. But yeah, there's a couple things I wish I would have done different, and I think it would have led to, you know, an overall better experience. But I'm not complaining on the experience that I did have. Who's to say that I'm just all talk right now, and if I was given another shot, I wouldn't do the same exact thing that I already did. So,
probably.
But yeah, so. Yeah. So you didn't really mind your experience, and
yeah,
you
probably, I mean, I think most of my have been like the classes and stuff that I took in college. I would have kind of adjusted those more.
Yeah, I probably would have looked at rate my professor with more insight, because there was some that I was reading and people were giving you the blueprint of this professor is absolutely terrible. Do not take him. You will fail no matter what. And I was like, these guys are dumb. They didn't do anything, or they didn't study, or whatever. But no, they were right. And I wish I would have paid closer attention to that.
I didn't really talk to many of the people that I was in classes with. So I probably would have, you know, tried to make more connections.
Yeah, I probably feel the same way too. But overall, I'm done, and who knows if I'll go back to finish up master's or get any extra license or anything. But you're almost done, and kind of your overall college experience is probably done with you being kind of on a separate campus. And
yeah, it's different. I mean, I guess schedule wise, like, it's made for me. I do talk to more people in my class, but, you know, we're around each other, you know, 50 plus hours a week, it feels like. So, you know, that's kind of forced into us, but it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Do intramurals with our class and other events. So,
yeah. You know. And then kind of playing off of that question, you know, I said that I didn't want to work at EPS, or I wish I didn't work at EPS. That's probably the job that I had the least fun at, for sure. But kind of this next question I got for you, you know, we were in high school, you know, we played ball, didn't really have a lot of time, but I ended up getting a job. I didn't know if you were lazy or not and didn't have a job in high school. But, you know, what job did you have the most fun at, either growing up or now?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say maybe the job I did have in high school, it was at like this nursing retirement home type place. And, you know, they would have high schoolers serving dinner, basically, just kind of being the servers. And so it was easy because it would be after school. They worked around sports schedules. So when it was basketball season, I'd just work like on the weekends that I could and days that I could. But it was easy. You know, the old people just love to see a young face, you know, bring them their food, you know, talk to them for a minute. A lot of them were really nice. A lot of the people who worked in the kitchen, they were really nice and, you know, like to talk to us about like what we were going to do after high school and things like that. And then the other thing that I really liked about it was the food. You know, it wasn't all old people's food. I mean, there were some good meals, and that was kind of my dinner most of the time. All sorts of different things that they had. Tried a lot of new different foods, so that was probably good for me. But that's probably the one I had the most fun with. And it was also probably just you know, short shifts, because, you know, they'd eat at like 5 o'clock and then be done with by like 8. So they were short shifts. Then I could eat dinner and, you know, you're just around a bunch of other high schoolers and not taking anything too seriously because everyone's in high school. So
yeah,
that's probably what I'd say.
Probably boosted your confidence working there, huh? Having all the old ladies hit on you and tell you how handsome you are.
They do. They love to tell you how handsome you are.
Probably got all the hard candies your little heart desired, huh?
A little butterscotch here, peppermint there.
I think only old people can buy those. Like, I never see, you know, any. I don't even see them in the stores. I don't know how they get them. I think they must have them like drop shipped or something.
They got to come with like the blood pressure medicine or something. I don't know.
Right. Go to CVS and pick it up behind the counter. But yeah. But kind of answering my own question, my very first job that I had was, the one where I got the W-2. I was cutting grass and stuff in middle school for straight cash, you know, on the side as a little.
Yeah, we don't talk about that. We keep that on the down low.
Don't tell the IRS that. But my first job working at Little Caesars was awesome. I don't think I'll ever have more fun, be a part of a more stacked, you know, work crew than working there. I mean, I had basketball teammates, I had friends. There's, you know, even a couple of people that went to different schools that you don't see at your school, you become good friends with. And, you know, clocking in every day, you didn't mind going to work every day. It was a party. And, you know, you're making pizzas. And, you know, you got some lull time in between different rushes and stuff. So, I mean, you could make your own pizza, eat some crazy bread, you know, listen to talk to each other, you know, blast some music, have a good time. And I don't think I've had as much fun working there, or I don't think I'll have that much fun again working somewhere. You know, shout out to all my Little Caesars crewmates from the past. Miss you guys. One love. But yeah, it was fun. And kind of like what you said with, you know, them feeding you and stuff at your work. That was kind of like what I was eating, you know, 4 days a week almost, it felt like. Because I would have school all day and then go to practice for a couple hours and then no shower, throw on your uniform, go work for 4 or 5 hours at night. And the most busy I was in high school. You know, we would have 16-hour days as a high schooler, as a sophomore, junior, you know, senior, going, working out and going to school all day and then working all night and then getting home at, you know, 11 on a Wednesday and have to get up at 6 o'clock to go to school the next day. So, I mean, I was eating a lot of pizza, a lot of crazy bread. Occasionally, occasionally slip some wings in the rotation too. But it was a hell of a time. Miss it, miss the people, miss the food. Got a soft spot for Little Caesars. People like to dog on it for some reason. I don't know. It's good stuff. You can trust me. I was back there making the stuff. You know, it's one of the only pizza places that makes their dough every day. You know, these Papa John's, these Domino's, these Pizza Huts. They get it shipped in frozen on a truck, or comes already made. And I was back there slaving, making the dough, making sure the yeast was at a certain temperature, mixing it, cutting it up, you know, spreading it, stretching the dough out. I was making the sauce, making the pizzas, putting the toppings on, throwing it in the oven, getting it out the oven. Little Caesars,
they should sponsor us. At least buy us some pizzas.
$5 too? Well, they just raised the prices. And I think it's now like $5.55 or something. But it's still the cheapest around for sure for a pizza. And it's good too. I don't know why people slack it. I mean, it tastes real good when you don't have somebody in your ear telling you it's nasty, you know? But yeah, I mean, it's kind of like Subway. Like, you make the sandwich. If it's gross, that's your own fault. You tell them what you want on your pizza. If you don't like it, then that's your own fault. So, kind of same argument there. Starting off segment number 3, you should know our schedule by now. We're going to start off here with our random question of the week. Tyler, this is from our old college roommate, Nate Leslie. Shout out to Nate Leslie, if you're listening.
Shout out to Nate. We'll have to get him on as a guest one of these times.
Yeah, you know, he's busier than Elon Musk with his schedule, or so he says.
Jim.
Work. Workout, leave probably work to changed. Go to the gym, eat chicken and rice.
Nothing's changed with him. Oatmeal, chicken.
Oatmeal and oatmeal. Eggs.
Egg white, straight.
Come out, nothing but a chain on.
Chain on and some socks.
Hair slicked back, going to bed. But shout out to Nate, though, for real.
Shout out to Nate, though, for real. For real. No, we will have to get him on here one of these days. And
but he gave us this random question. You know, I took some recommendations from a couple people. What would they want our random question to be? He came through, and he said, what would be the best dish to bring to a party? And I'll leave it up to you.
Yeah, so I'm taking this, you know, as a casual party. And every party has to have something to get the party started. So I'm going with like a good homemade dip, salsa, guac. You know what I'm saying? So that's the direction I would take it. You know, if you're going to a party and maybe, you know, they're going to be grilling out burgers or something like that. I mean, yeah, they might, you know, stop by the store and buy a couple bags of chips and stuff like that. But you can really elevate it to the next level. You make some dip, you make some salsa, you make some guacamole, make it fresh. Don't just buy it in a tub. You can make some cheese dip, something like that, and really elevates it, gets the party started, and that's what I would suggest.
Well, shit, you stole one of mine because you named all fucking five of them.
I was just chips and dip.
Come was on. Like, yeah, but here's you know some it was dip, bound to happen but, at some point. I know, I was hoping you wouldn't say it, but he was like, you know, you got the salsa, you got the guacamole, you got all the kinds of dip, you got the cheese dip. And I was like, God dang, can I have something? Named off all of them. But I was going to say just a nice queso dip with some chips. You know, get you a block of Velveeta, throw it in the crock pot with some sausage or some chorizo and a couple, you know, maybe tomatoes or chilies, throw it in there, bring it to the party. But yeah, kind of going off of what you said, I think that's the best one, a nice little starter. Or it can be, you know, one of the main things. I know if I go to a party and, you know, there's dip, queso, you know, that might be some of the only things that I'm grabbing, especially if it's good.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter if it's a big group, small group, it'll work.
Right. And, you know, there's a bunch of different routes you could take. I was talking to Megan, and she was talking like, I would bring some vegetables and dip. And I was like, you are out of your ever-loving mind. If I go to a party and there's just carrots and ranch, I'm immediately walking out that door and going finding another party, because that is not a party I want to be at. And she was like, you're just 5 years old, you don't eat vegetables, whatever. But I don't know, I think, you know, chips and dip, queso, guac, not a big guac guy, I'll say that. Usually too, I don't even know if I'll mess with like a canned salsa at a party or whatever. If it's just the homemade, throw it in a crock pot or have it in a big pot, heated pot with a, you know, kind of like that queso dip I was talking about. That's my probably number one go-to for dip-wise. I know people will make buffalo chicken dip. Me personally, this is a hot take. This is going to get everybody up in arms, but not the biggest fan of buffalo chicken dip. I'd rather just have a queso dip, honestly. I think queso reigns supreme over all dips.
And go ahead and for our listeners, when you see that on the Twitter, go ahead and reply what your favorite dip is or what your favorite side would be to bring if it's not cheese dip or guacamole.
I know Nate, he's probably bringing some chicken and rice for the whole family. I wonder if he's still eating that oatmeal we gave him for his birthday.
I don't know. We gave him pounds of.
I think it was like 20 pounds of oatmeal we got from Amazon from or
eBay.
Something.
It was
from
eBay. Yeah. It was cheap. I didn't realize it was going to be that much. But
it took him, you know, the rest of the time living together for him to finish it. And he would eat it twice a day. So for all the oatmeal lovers out there, me personally, I'm a more of a cream of wheat guy. Shout out to the man that was on the cream of wheat box way back in the day. I know they took him off. Shame. But shout out to him. Cream of wheat over oatmeal all day. I think that does it for our random question. We will jump into our next topic for segment three. We have our recommendations. Tyler, you started off our last random question of the week, so I'm going to start this one off so you don't take this one. I'm going to go with cereal that I had a couple weeks ago. I told the people, I posted on my Snap story that I was going to leave them a review. The reviews are good. That's why I'm talking about it on the podcast. The Wendy's Chocolate Frosty cereal is coming in hot as being probably one of my favorite cereals to have. Don't know if this is a limited time thing. I know you got the classics like the Cinnamon Toast Crunch, the Captain Crunches, the Frosted Flakes, you know, even Frosted Mini Wheats I have ranked up there from time to time. But this Wendy's Frosty cereal is definitely worth a get if you're into cereal or any type of snacks, for that matter. It's kind of similar to Cocoa Puffs, but I like the taste of it compared to Cocoa Puffs. And the thing that sets it over the top is that there's also like some small marshmallows in there as well. And you know, those dried marshmallows in the cereal are, I wish I could just have a bag of those marshmallows because you can't buy them anywhere else. Now you get some Lucky Charms. Those marshmallows are what's carrying the cereal. You know, same for these other types of cereals. So my recommendation, go out, try that Chocolate Frosty cereal. You won't be disappointed. And you may even think that it's also your new favorite cereal.
I'll have to add that to the grocery list.
That's a hell of a speech or sales pitch right there.
I mean, it's got to get added to the list now. I've been busy, you know, with midterms or whatever, but I have started watching the Bubba's documentary on Netflix, so I'm going to still be working on that. Don't know if I can make the recommendation yet since I haven't finished it, but I've started it, so, you know, why not go ahead and recommend it as well?
You just contradicted yourself.
Well, I make up my own rules. So, yeah, I get to learn about the new team with Michael Jordan, Denny Hamlin. You know, if you're looking for a driver to root for, you got Bubba. Now you got Kurt Busch. He's established. You can root for him now that he's over on the team as well. So that's my recommendation for the week.
All right. And I'll kind of carry your recommendation for you because I actually finished the doc over the weekend. Just like 6 episodes, about 45 minutes each. It's called Race with Bubba Wallace on Netflix. It goes through Bubba's kind of rise to where he's at now. 2020 was a troubling time for everybody, and Bubba was kind of pushed to the forefront with this racial discrimination that he's faced, being the only black driver in NASCAR, and kind of the storylines that went behind the 2020 season. There was a bunch of stuff that happened in that season. You'll have to, if you don't know what happened, you'll have to watch the doc and see it for yourself. But it's a great documentary. If Netflix does racing docs very well, they've done Formula One, Drive to Survive the past couple of years, and I think the new season's coming out here in the next couple of months to open up the Formula One season.
New season drops, I think, March 10th for March the next 10th. Drive to Survive. So I'll go ahead and add in a second recommendation. Go ahead and watch the first three seasons so that you're ready when the fourth season drops, and you can pick right on up with that. Very drama, very European, but... Just as exciting.
Right. And kind of finishing up with Bubba's doc. He's on a new team with Michael Jordan and Denny Hamlin as his owners. You know, you kind of have some inside looks of what it's like to be a NASCAR driver. It's not all, you know, just making left turns and stuff. There's a lot of technical things that go into each week. A lot of stress on a lot of different people, a lot of different traveling and testing. It's a very good inside look of what it takes to be a driver and kind of his upbringing from, you know, how he started in go-karts and worked his way up into trucks and into the now Xfinity level. And now he's in Cup and he won his first race ever. Spoiler, last year, if you don't know, at Talladega in a rain shortened race. The doc itself kind of ends a little early. I wish it went through the whole season. I know with him not kind of making the playoffs, it may have kind of put a damper on things, and maybe they cut it there before. But he ended up winning a race, and they kind of glossed over it in the last episode at the end, which I was kind of a little disappointed on, because I feel like that's like the climactic thing, because they're, you know, going through this whole thing about how he hasn't won at the Cup level. He's won at every other level and has been successful, and he's the only African-American driver at the top level and hasn't won and is facing all this discrimination from outside forces, and the whole thing that happened at the Talladega racetrack a couple years prior to him actually winning. So it's very touching. Like you said, with Formula One's Drive to Survive, there's drama, but it's real life. And, you know, if you want an inside look of what NASCAR is instead of just what it's like on Sundays, give it a watch and maybe learn something, maybe get into it, be a fan of Bubba's. Bubba's a cool guy. Does a lot of extracurriculars, like plays the drums and, you know, listens to rock music. He's not your stereotypical, you know, country white racer. It's worth a watch. It's got Tyler's recommendation, even though he hasn't finished it. I finished it, so I'll give my stamp of approval for his recommendation.
Great. Thanks for carrying me through there.
And then we will finish up with that segment and move to the most anticipated segment of each episode. We got Tyler's famous quote of the week. Tyler, how are you going to end this today?
Man, y'all been waiting for this one all episode. Here it comes. You've got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, and know when to run. That's the gambler.
Who said it?
And that's it.
Do you know who said it?
Huh?
Who said it? Like, who is responsible for the quote?
Oh, Kenny Rogers sings it. It's a country music song. Everyone knows it. Well, you heard it.
there's people that, you know, may not know. You always got to give. Well,
go ahead and give that song a listen then, but everyone knows it.
Does that have your recommendation too? You just had a lot of recommendations today. You're going off the rails.
I can recommend anything I want. I make my own rules. Yeah, go ahead and give that song a listen. It's probably like, what, 3 minutes? So you all can take 3 minutes out of your week.